Well, hello everyone, and how are you all doing today? Are you doing good? I hope you are, given the circumstances that we're under. I know it's a very fearful time, and I know there's a lot of anxiety in the air. So I decided to do some good news stories and bring you some good news from around the world that'll hopefully cheer you up and ease that anxiety just a little bit. I just want to play a little part in it, which makes me happy as well, because I like reporting stories like this. Reporting, I swear I was like an anchorman or something. But you know what I mean. Like the media is guilty of a lot. Like, this world is yin and yang. There's negative and positive, and it's in equal amounts. And I would say that it's more good than negative. It's like, if we look at the media, we see just constant negativity. And it's just amplified, and there's a little story then seeps in every now and again, a little bit like, and nobody takes notice of it because they know what they're doing. They're manipulating us. They're going after your amygdala, which is the part of your brain that makes you want to rush out and buy loads of toilet roll. Anxiety isn't all bad either. It's just your protective mechanism at work, your ego at work, to keep you alive, to keep your family alive. So, but anyway, the media, it really does amplify all this stuff, and it really does prey on our fears and that. And it's probably good to switch off every now and again, to just give yourself a couple of hours a day of like breathing space, to notice your surroundings, to be present, you know, without sounding too much like the Dalai Lama. But it is good to bring yourself back to, you know, the present, bring yourself back to logic as well, to look at what you're doing, look at the part you're playing, and I know that you're playing a good part in it all, and I know that you're helping out. So, yeah. So I was there a few days ago. And in the village where I live, I am talking very slowly because I saw some comments in the last audio, and they were like, dude, your brain is too fast for your mouth, which is true. That's why I stumble over my words an awful lot. My brain is fire, like... So I'm just slowing down here and trying to rein back the horses, and I'm probably still talking too fast. But anyway, in the post office in the village, this guy collapsed, and I know the guy as well now. He's in his 60s, like, and he collapsed, and of course went around the whole Irish village. It's coming, we're all fucking gonna die, you know, the zombie apocalypse is coming. And I was like, okay, like, and I'm the first person to say I fell for it as well. I was like, oh god, here we go. So I got a phone call off my buddy, who's a farmer, and he's like, "Hell, Gael!" Like, and this fella, he's an awful man. Like, as we say, he's an awful man. You don't know whether he's winding you up or whether he's being serious, you know? And he's like, "Oh, Jesus Christ, I know I should have got out of this back-arse tongue years ago." And you wouldn't mind now, this guy is young enough, like, he's only in his 30s. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. And like, "Where are you, boy? Where are you?" And he's a farmer, as I said, and he owns, there's a mountain on his land. And he's like, "I'm up in the mountain, taking in the hills and the views one last time, taking in me sheep one last time. Jesus Christ, I never noticed how beautiful it all was." And I'm like, "Oh, Jesus Christ." I like, "Chill the fuck out, man." And he's like, "Oh, Jesus, we're all gone. It's the end of it. Did you hear about him collapsing? Did you hear about him collapsing in the post office?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he went down like a bag of spuds. He went down like a rock in a river. And I was like, "Oh, for fuck's sake." So I'm like, "Okay, okay." And then he hangs up. That was it. And then he finds out, like, later on, that the guy had like a diabetic sugar drop. That's all it was. And he was standing in the queue, and the poor man's, he just went lightheaded, and he just hit the deck. Like, and of course, like, the whole village panicked. So that's the kind of panic that can kind of set in. That's the amygdala in action again. But so I went shopping then. I went to an Aldi, and I could see the panic. Like, this is probably last Thursday or Wednesday, and it was just starting to kick in, the panic, because I think the panic starts on the internet, you know? There's people on Facebook on these live videos and stuff, and they're looking at people fighting over toilet roll, and then they think, like, why can't I fight over toilet roll? And everyone's just fighting, there's just like toilet roll wars. And again, it's funny to see it. And it's not funny, because you can understand, and there's people calling them idiots and all that, but you can kind of understand, they're just protecting themselves, and it's just the amygdala again, as I said. I know to mention that word a few times, but it's just that protective mechanism again. So I'm in the queue, and like, done before me then, there's three or four people before me with big trolleys full of stuff. Not in too mental note, to be fair. But there's a lady in front of me, and she's got her weekly shop. And you ever look in some into someone's trolley, and you can kind of see, like, oh yeah, you know, you can kind of surmise, you can't be too accurate, but you're going to go, yeah, she has two kids. And you could kind of see, anyway, I said two kids, but she has kids, and she's just a lady doing her shop, and you could see the, like, the yogurts and all that the kids would eat, the Petit Filos and the chocolate bars and that, and the bags of chips or crisps, as we call them here, and she's just doing her shopping. So, as I said, there's three or four at the till, and she's back from me then, and then I'm back from her behind her, and she just remembers something, and she runs to get something, and I'm like, ah, whatever, I'm listening to my Spotify, I got my playlist, and I'm enjoying myself, you know. Yeah, there is a bit of impatience there, that's in everybody. You just watch that, you listen to your music, and you're bopping your feet, and you're enjoying your day. So next, the guy behind me taps me, and he says, go ahead of her. And I just looked, and I says, no, just no, like. And I said, no, I said, she just forgot something. He goes, fuck her. And I looked, and I went, man, I just goes, shut up, you muppet, like, to him. And you could see that kind of hard man acting, like, fading, you know. I was looking at him saying, what are you going to do, you're a muppet, like. Just the lady that was doing her shopping, she forgot something, like, softener, like, you know, that washing powder softener, whatever it's called, conditioner, whatever, I don't know. And she just forgot that, and she put it back in her trolley. And she came back, and she said, like, oh, thanks, love, thanks very much for keeping my space. And I said, there's no rush, there's not, because people, like, the tills were already full. And I suppose what I'm getting at is that you can see a lot of good, and people can be very good. And then there can be, like, there can be these small hints of, like, I'm looking at the dude, and I'm like, what the hell? And then the lady went ahead, and she got out, and he's standing behind me, and there's this awkward silence between two men, like, you know, two testosterone-filled men at the till, like, and it's like 100 years, like, to get out, and like, oh, God, and he just puts his head down, and he walks back out, and I'm like, what is the point in that, you know? What is the point in being a dickballs about, like, and that's what it's being a dickballs. It's just a lady doing her shopping. So I think, like, people have to really step back and look at the situation they're in, you know. It's just a lady doing her shopping. It's just people are panicking, that's okay. But they're just looking after themselves. They're just trying to, you know, they're just trying to, you know, try to get things done for themselves. So my first story is, there's distilleries in the United States are making their own hand sanitizers from alcohol, and they're giving them away for free, which is good. I actually think, like, alcohol, the best use for alcohol is cleaning. It is like isopropanol and that is just clean, and it's cleaning surfaces and stuff. It's the best you can do it. The next one is by NASA. And NASA have reported that air pollution has plummeted in cities with high rates of quarantine. Satellite readings of air pollution levels over China and Italy have shown that has dropped dramatically, which is another good side effect of this. Again, like, for all the bad that we see, there are a lot of positives as well. There's a balance to everything, is what I'm trying to say. There's a balance to these things. And I do get accused sometimes of being too positive, but I'm not being too positive. I'm just saying that there's a balance. I'm saying that for all the bad that we're seeing, there's good. And the mind is very easily taken in by the bad. And they go, no, it's all negative, no, it's all negative. And it's just not, because there's proof everywhere. And you can read a lot of these stories, as I'm about to read you, and it'll prove it, you know. So, yeah. So the good people at Johns Hopkins Research say that antibodies from recovered COVID-19 patients could help protect people at risk. And they're developing a vaccine at the moment, and they're looking into it. And Johns Hopkins is an amazing research facility, really is. And Uber Eats in North America are wavering delivery fees for 100,000 restaurants. And that's lovely as well, because a lot of people, you know, eating in is, or eating out, whichever we say take out, some people say take in. But it's such a good thing to do, because they don't have to go and they don't have to go to the shops, and they're not mingling. And you have a lot of older people that are more vulnerable and stuff like that, that can get their food without going to the shops. We have that stuff going on here as well. We have a lot of community volunteers calling to all the people's houses, and we're calling to people that we know on top of that. And if I know somebody and I'll call in and say, do you need something in the store or whatever? And it's all being, it's all, you know, as people just coming together, which you notice that as there's a common enemy, you know, we have a common enemy. And anytime human beings have a common enemy, you'll see that they start to gel. We're all in this together. So it's really, it can have that positive effect. When you can see that around the world, you can see the way that the world is unifying, which is beautiful to see. So well done, Uber. And we come to Dutch and Canadian researchers are reporting additional breakthrough research on treating the virus as well. So that's more scientists working on it, Dutch and Canadian scientists. And there are other ways as well that people are helping each other out. There are businesses, as I've said, there are people and businesses supporting each other. A lot of the businesses here are open early in the mornings, like for the older people, and they're giving them that hour and a half to go shopping without the mania, and to give them that time when the shelves are stocked so they can get their food in. Because we have to, like, one thing that drives me crazy, and this is a bugbear that I have for a long, long time, which is unusual because I can kind of see it in my country, and I can kind of pick up on it in other countries as well. But when you look to Italy have had a lot of deaths. They have had a lot of deaths. There's no denying it. Like, I think they had like 250 one day there at one stage. But the average age of the person that's dying is 80 years old. And there's this kind of attitude. You see it in the media as well. Oh, it's just old people. And that drives me fucking crazy. Like, it really does. I'm like, who do you think you are? I mean, I have two good friends. One of them is 72 and he's a marathon runner. And he is a fucking machine. Like, he is just the fittest, happiest, most jovial person I've ever met in my life. He's like, when I get to 72, I want to be just like him, you know, just sort of lust for life. Like, he's an energetic, just a beautiful man. Like, he's just, he even looks beautiful. Everything about him is beautiful. Like, he's just lovely. And I'm thinking, if my friend gets caught, I'm like, oh, no, because he looks after himself better than I do. He looks after himself better than most people I know. And it's this kind of thing, like, ah, sure, they're just old. Is that, like, if your parents die from this, is it, ah, they're just old. See, the way the media just makes us statistics is, just a lot of 70-year-olds. Ah, just a lot of 80-year-olds. No, fuck off. And in Italy, they're devastated because they have this real love for their elders, you know. They really have this love for them because they can see, like, if a person is 80, I mean, what have they lived through? What really have they lived through, you know, on this planet? They've lived through a lot. They've seen a lot. And that they're just complete another, like, wisdom because they've seen so much. And, it drives me crazy to see that. But at the same time, then, you look at Italy. You just see them on their balconies and playing their instruments and entertaining each other. And I saw one guy and he was singing fucking Luciano Pavarotti. And he's like, he is amazing. And they're all clapping then around the place in the high rises. Like, and then I saw another guy doing a fitness instructor thing and everybody was doing the aerobics with him. It was just so cool. It reminded me of when the Irish went to France that time. And it was just after the terrorist attack in France, was the World Cup. And the Irish really, like, they really kicked into gear, and they did it on purpose. Like, they did it to cheer up the French people, and the French people, you could see, like, that there was a real bond in there, you know, and they were just characters, and the French were delighted with it, and it was really, and there's some videos on YouTube as well. I know I pointed them up before, but you can look at them, and they're just so heartwarming to see it. So the Italians were just like, ah, and this is leading the way again. It's showing you, like, what happens if we're isolated like that, if we're locked down. Oh, we'll entertain each other. Oh, people will step up to the plate. Do you know what I mean? It's good. It's good. There's going to be a lot of good that we'll take from this. There's going to be a lot of lessons. Hopefully, we have this problem, though, with memory. Pain is no memory. You know, when something passes, we kind of forget. But hopefully, we'll keep a lot of this in our memory banks and see how good we are, you know, as people. So I saw the story and I thought it was absolutely amazing. There's an aquarium, right? And it's basically closed because no one can go visit that. But the caretakers are letting the penguins out to roam around the aquarium. And oh my God, they're so funny. Like, I'm looking at the two penguins. I'm looking at the two of them. I'll show you the video. It'll be up here now. And you've noticed the way penguins walk, it's like they walk with their hands in their pockets. They walk like Irish people, actually, their hands in their pockets and their heads down, and they say, hello, hello, hello. And they're looking around, oh, there's Ollie the Octopus, there's Freddy the Fish over there. They're kind of looking, how's it going there, boys? How's it going, Stephen Squid? And they're just like moseying through, like, and it's so fucking funny to look at it. So I'll show you that video, and it's so heartwarming. So this one hasn't really much to do with the coronavirus, but it was a good news story. Charles Barkley, the American basketball player, selling off all his medals, his like accolades from playing basketball, from being a fucking genius basketball player. And he, you know, he collected so many medals, Olympic medals, all trophies for everything, like, and they're worth a fortune. And he's selling them to build 20 affordable houses for his community. And it's so nice to see athletes like that go back into their communities and give back. You know, sports people, celebrities do it sometimes as well. They go back into where, you know, where they're from, and they start looking after their own people. It's really good to see it. And I think he does a lot of work with colleges as well, which brings me to like Gary Neville. He's a Man United player. Our English, Welsh, Scottish and Irish listeners will know who Gary is, hopefully. And he's opening his three hotels. So he gave them to the NHS in England, and he's opening them as you know, to let the doctors and nurses sleep in them, which is like another act of generosity that he didn't need to do. Like Gary Neville and Charles Barkley don't need to do that. Like, they don't need to do that. They can just go to an island and, you know, sip on pina coladas and put their feet up in the hot sands. They don't need to do these things. So it's nice to see them do these things, you know. So Paddy's Day, you know, was, we didn't have any parade in Ireland. And not only that, we didn't have any parade in the world, which is very unusual. Like, for as long as I can remember, Paddy's Day was, you know, it was just a thing that was there, and the whole world went green for a day. And but people were doing a lot of virtual Paddy's Days, and people were having them out in their garden. They were having parades out in the garden with their kids, and it was amusing to see. But I came across a video of this lady, and she's dancing. It's from 2016. They show this to kind of raise the spirits of people in Ireland that didn't have the parade. But it was in Galway, and she was doing Irish dancing out in the street, and this little toddler joined her, and he was watching her, and he was copying the moves. And you'll see the video there now as well. It's just, oh, it's so hilarious. And it was just a jig that would, like, you know, really cheer you right up. So that was the virtual Paddy's Days. I have a funny story about Paddy's Day, actually. When I was younger, you know, my mother and my father did, like, they tell us, go to the parade. It's like years ago in Ireland, it was Mass, you know, go to Mass. And it's like, oh, God, like, do I really have to go up there and sit down and listen to the priest, like, for an hour? It's like, oh, I haven't got the attention span. And it was like, go to Mass. And it was like, you know, go to the parade. I didn't like the parade, I have to admit. Like, I was like, it just was too slow for me. I'd be sitting there and I'd be looking at the parade coming around the corner, like, fucking hell, will it ever just come on? There's an hour of people walking, and they go, oh. So this Paddy's Day, it was absolutely freezing. It was really cold, and I put on a big jacket, a big thick winter jacket with a big hood. And I went into the city, and there's a park in the city, and I decided to climb up on top of the... There was a pillar, two pillars connecting the gate, so... So my buddies went up on one of the pillar, and me and another buddy went up on the other pillar. And I was on the pillar, and I was going, this is good for my ADD. This is really good. I had a good vantage point, you know what I mean? I could see the parade coming. It kind of gave me a different perspective. It was like, oh, I'm not the cure of my ADD. This is good. I like it as bread. And I was looking at it, and I was like, kind of enjoying it, half enjoying it. Like, you know, as much as Irish people, there's a rumour that we do enjoy Paddy's Day, but we really don't. So I watched it, and I was kind of unhappy about it. And it passes, but the people are still around, you know. They're still there. And I decided to jump down off the pillar. And I was just, you know, like a monkey. I jumped onto the bars. But there was rain on the bars. And it was that greasy, slippery rain. And my hand slipped off it. So my hood got caught. And, you know, you see my gates, there are these spikes. The spikes and gates that separate the gates. That went up through the hood, right? It went spiked straight up through the hood, and I swung out and I swung back in, and my head hit the fucking my head hit the bars, boom, and I got knocked out, and I was just dangling above the parade, right? Like dangling, and this is like the second story I thought like that, isn't it? When you think back to one of your rambles, what happened to me? I've had an interesting life. So I'm just dangling anyway above the thing, and my buddy, two of my buddies actually, one of them climbed over and he was kind of trying to lift me to take the pressure off my neck, you know, and I was all cold. And then I walk up, and what I said to him was like, who rung the bells? And you know, in Ireland, at 6 p.m. and 12 p.m. we have the Angelus. The bells ring at 12 and the bells ring at 6. And I was convinced it was that because it was my head hitting the fucking bars. Bang. And I was like, who rang the bells? Who rang the bells? And I was kind of shouting that I was delusional. And there's a lot of people that gathered underneath. They're all laughing. And for me, no, I'm such a low-key person. Like, and I go, oh, no. And there's a crowd gathered and they're all clapping and laughing. Dangling up over the parade. And I'm like, I could become part of the parade. Oh, God. Oh, it was such a funny thing to happen. dozens of blue whales have been spotted in Antarctica for the first time since the 1980s whaling ban. Now, how happy does that make you feel? That, you know, all these whales are back. And apparently, like, they have evidence of 20,000 of them swimming around, enjoying themselves again. And they're free. And they're such a beautiful animal. I have one criticism of this article, and it calls whales beasts, and I like the report. I'm actually flipping the birds to report on it. They're not beasts, they're whales. When I think of beasts, you know, when I make audios, I think of words when I'm making the audio, and if a word will flash into my head that I don't like, it's rejected. It's like a ding, ding. I can hear like a song that's weird. I can taste words, you know, I can hear just some, I can't really explain it, but there's something about words in my mind. So when I hear someone calling whales beasts, I automatically think of a beast from the Middle Ages, you know, a big dragon or a beast. Like, how are they like beasts? They're actually beautiful. They have their own language. They sing, and they're a sign that our seas are healthy. So, nah, reporter. So, yeah, the next story. Oh my God, you have to look at this photograph. Oh my God. So there's a pigeon, right, and a chihuahua. Yeah, a pigeon and a chihuahua. So they're actually best buddies at the moment. And what happened was, the pigeon was rescued from a car dealership in Hilton, New York, about a year ago. And what happened was, the bird couldn't fly. It had, which is really unusual, never heard this before, a neurological condition that just rendered it incapable of flying. And so it was rescued by the Mia Foundation, who are a non-profit dedicated to rescuing and rehabilitating animals that suffer from physical defects and deformities. They were going to put it down first, and I was like, oh, and I read it, just because there's no wings, can walk, can fucking walk with his legs. But anyway, they didn't put him down, and they teamed him up with the Chihuahua, and the Chihuahua is Herman. And lads, look at the photographs, right? Just look at the photographs and look at the way the Chihuahua and the pigeon are looking at the camera. The two of them are posing. They're taking selfies, but they've got like their own little pigeon Chihuahua iPhones. And they're like, you know, ching, ching. And they're like, yeah, they're posing. Like, they're like, look at us. Look how cool we are. And it really does warm your heart to see that as well. I mean, anytime you feel down, and loads of people do. That's why the animal videos are so popular on YouTube. You have millions and millions of hits. You know, from just cat videos and dog videos. I think people get, when they get a little fearful or when they get a little down, they put them on and they can change your whole chemistry. And what is going on in your brain when you see that? What is the reaction in your brain? What is happening? Whatever is happening, it's no different to a natural drug, I would say, you know. It's a way of like changing your whole consciousness. My next one is about crow gifts, and I did a story about this before. I told a true story about it as well. So there was a girl, I was telling a story before, and she rescued a crow and she nursed the crow back to health. And when she did, the crow kept coming back, visiting her and getting her gifts, like creating gifts like out of buttons. And the crow would make it, she would like, you know, get bits of stick and then put in between two buttons. It's like, they reckon it's like medals and stuff in the crow's mind, because the crows are so intelligent. And so this guy, his name is Stuart, and he rescued two chicks from a crow family. We are the crow family. And he with the crows were kind of looking at him, kind of like when he was doing it, we're like, hey, what are you doing there? And that happened to me before. I was trying to, there was a crow died in my garden, and I was trying to bury the crow, and the other crows were coming down, and they were kind of shoom, 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 for attacking me, and I actually got the crow there after a while, but it was like, it was, they were really protective, like. So he, anyway, he, the crows started seeing that he wasn't going to kill the chicks, so they started feeding the chicks and letting him do his thing. So he nursed the birds back to health, and then they started coming back and giving him gifts as well, getting him like the top Nova sword, kind of like that, and they started getting him branches and stuff, and, you know, giving him gifts for what he've done. I have a buddy, and I spoke about this in the ramble before, and he nursed the crow back to health as well. The crow was hit by a car and had a broken leg, and he actually put a cast on the leg, and he actually, like, he looked up YouTube and he found out everything that he needed to know. And the crow stayed loyal to him for fucking, it was about a year. And I'd go off and I'd call from him and say, are you coming into the city? I'm coming into this city. Pure Irish thing, you're coming into this city, isn't I? And as he'd say, I'm, yeah. And the crow would come down and land on his shoulder. And he'd be like, I'm going up tonight. And the crow would give him a kiss. It was fucking bizarre. I was looking at him going, what the hell, mate? And he's, I don't know, we're just best buddies, like. So another story I have to tell you is story about pollution. And in Amsterdam, the beautiful city of Amsterdam, which is a really beautiful city, and if you ever hear, see, Amsterdam is synonymous with like weed and red light districts and all that, but it's not like that at all. It's just a little strip like that. If you come out of that part of the city, and if you just look at the architecture, and I've spoken about this, like the restaurants and the bars there, and it's just lovely, and they're lovely people, you know. I love it there, like, it's really, really lovely place. I wasn't there for a while, but I really fell in love with them, and I really love the Dutch people as well. And so anyway, they're changing their boats from diesel to electric. So that's going to really improve the environment there. You know, if you ever see where boats are docked, when boats are docked, you can see the amount of diesel and the amount of oil that seeps into the water. If you put your hand into the water, you can feel that clingy, like, film that goes in your skin. And it's like, ack. And you're thinking of the fish, and you're thinking, oh, the poor fishies, you know, that come around feeding on the plankton or whatever is around the shore like that. And this will really improve the water in the canals there, and it will actually, it'll help the whatever kind of life is in there, and it's actually helping the sound as well, apparently, that there's the hum off them is a bit too loud, so it'll dim all that as well, which is, it's all positive. So well done, Amsterdam. Thumbs up to Amsterdam. So, like, you know, we are good people. We are. And we take things into consideration, and we look after our elderly, and we'll do our best. All right? That's what it is. We're going to do our best, and we'll get through this together. We will. And that. Yeah, so lads, I'm going to love ye and leave ye, but I will be doing another good news chat if you want. If you have any stories actually for me, you can share them with me, because, you know, I really love. So lads, I'll talk to you very soon, and look after yourselves, and as I said, let me know of any positive stories you have, because you'll warm my Irish cree. Bye bye, catch you laters.